So I'm Lydia, I'm at Queen Mary, I'm a secondary PhD student at Queen Mary University in London. I'll be talking about conformalist continuous numerical method that was initially put forward by Harris and Leo Barak in Southampton, and further improved by PhD students Michael, Pablo, and more recently Nelson. And also we are lucky enough to work with two conformal methods experts, Juan and Rodrigo. Harris already gave a very nice motivation of why we want to have a time domain method. I just want to emphasize that it's really important so that we can have a self-consistent evolution and we could compute higher order, higher eccentricity and bound orbitals. And it would also is always nice if you could have more time domain, two or three time domain methods corroborating the promising results that we've been getting in the frequency domain. A lot of groups have attempted to compute things in the time domain. One of these methods has been approximating to your distributional source function as an Gaussian pulse by the Germany group. There have been issues with accuracy and also extrapolating these to pseudospectral modes. Hughes et al. Also attempted to compute this approximate the delta function as in finite different second order method, but had, for my understanding, there have been issues extrapolating to higher orders. And the method that has shown more promising and more accurate results has been this idea of a domain decomposition where your coordinates follow your particles and you have this split into left and right and you can use an hyperboloidal slice. And I think Peter Diener gave a very nice presentation last Capra and you could see this idea of having four subdomains. From my understanding, there have been issues extrapolating this further. And with these limitations in mind, that Harris and Leo Barak in Southampton, they wanted more of an Eulerian picture approach. And basically we wanted to solve this wave equation as we would solve it in the smooth case. So you start with, for the space-time, you split it in a 2D sphere and a 2D Lorentzian manifold, and you apply the machinery of Zarelli tensor harmonics. And then you choose your gauge, in this case, the Ricci-Wheeler gauge, and you get this set of complicated equations, Ricci-Wheeler and Zarelli, and you have all these perturbations, and the first coordinate transformation you do is the Schwarzschild coordinate transformation, which gives you an infinite domain. So ideally, you would use something like an hyperboloidal slice in order so that ideally you would get a wave equation in 1 plus 1D where you could solve numerically using a method of lines recipe. And as a review, that method of lines, recipe would go as follows. You would reduce your system to a first order, and then you would discretize in space discontinuously and integrate in time, like Harris has shown in the previous talk. I think in order to understand our particular method, it's useful to review the concept of Lagrange interpolation that you may have encountered in high school. So basically you start with an n-order polynomial and you have this set of known coefficients. You want to solve these using the method of undetermined coefficients like Harris has mentioned. So you need a set of collocation conditions. Once you have this, you can solve it as a linear system. And your solution you get is this Lagrange interpolating polynomial, and you can see that it is written in a Lagrangian basis. Okay, so how would this go if you had a discontinuity? It's analogous. So now you have, so this set of coefficients, and because you have this split into right and left, you actually have more coefficients, and you need, so you'll have more coefficients than you have collocation conditions. And your polynomial is not actually a polynomial, it's a piecewise polynomial. So you need more conditions, and that's, you use jump conditions. And once you do that, you can solve it linearly like you've done for the normal Lagrangian interpolation case. And you can see that the solution you get is an interpolating polynomial, piecewise polynomial, but now with this distributional function, this delta term, and it's still in an Lagrangian basis. You can compute any functions using this method. You can do interpolation, you can do differentiation, and I call your attention for this delta source term where you can see it's given in terms of the Heaviside step function and the jump conditions you have decided on. But what we really want to do, and it's a first toy model, we wanted to solve the 1 plus 1D wave equation, the flat case, without any Ricci-Wheeler potential. as our toy model. And it was just shows this distributional source function where GT is just a simple cost function. And the first thing you do is you give the ansatz for your field equation of a smooth part, which takes into consideration the homogeneous parts of your solution, and a non-smooth part, which contains the jumps. And as I showed in the previous slide, you can apply these discontinuous Lagrangian interpolation formulas to compute your derivatives in second order in time and second order in space. I include here this source term just to more like a representation of this right-hand side term. So how would you really calculate these jumps? So again, you take the non-smooth part of your ansatz and you make a linear combination of your jumps with your unit jump functions. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Frobenius method, probably from you are from high school. So you apply the Frobenius, in order to calculate the jumps, you apply the Frobenius method to your second order derivative in time and a second order derivative in space. You go back to your wave equation and you compare your right-hand side and your left-hand side. And if you do that, you retrieved this nice algorithmic relation where you can just pre-compute these in your code in order to get your jump conditions. So this is what we've done initially. These were the results we obtained for the flat wave equation. As you can see, the accuracy between your exact function that you can calculate from your exact solution, we actually use the same as Scott fields in this publication in here for comparison purposes. And you can see the results, we were happy with the results and showed good accuracy. But this solution was done using boundary radiation boundary conditions, which is not ideal because this would contaminate the accuracies of your late time evolutions, your price tails. And ideally, what we really want to do is we want to extract gravitational waves at null infinity. So we use hyperboloidal slicing. As you can see here, how can you apply hyperboloidal slicing? We do transformations in our 1+1D formalism, so in time and space, and we change time by this height function that is horizon penetrating. I'm sorry for this figure I've drawn it. But so it goes from the horizon and it intersects your null infinity. This is great because if you have a null rate originating from at a finite radius, then arrives at null infinity at a finite time, you can extract gravitational waves. But as I said, our transformations are done using our first transformation was the Tuartois coordinate transformation, which is unbound. So we still need to compactify spatially, and we do that by using the G sigma function. And we bring our domain to a compact domain. So minus infinity to infinity, unbounded to A and B. And we spent quite a long time trying to find an ideal slice. And luckily for us, we had a person in our group, Rodrigo, who's gonna give a talk at 11:45. We are already come up with a slice specifically for Schwarzschild and specifically for Ridge-Wheeler. And this was great because once we apply these transformations to the Ridge-Wheeler-Zorelli equation that we've shown you last time, you now have a wave equation that shows outgoing boundary conditions, there has outflow at the boundary. So really you can extract gravitational waves and you only have to keep track of what's happening at the boundaries. So how does our method change based on these transformations? As I had shown you, this recurrence relation was for the Cartesian case. I also have here this function because now you'll have an equation which has a bunch of the hyperboloidal coefficients in your spatial derivatives and time derivatives. You no longer have just two derivatives. And you also have a Ridge-Wheeler potential on your function. So you can alter your algorithm by expanding any function around your particle. And once you do that, you apply Frobenius method again, you go back to your hyperboloidal Ridge-Wheeler equation and you update Gan+2 accordingly. And what you retrieve is a relation which looks quite similar to what we had before, but now it is fully hyperboloidal. And you can see that this this looks more or less the same as we had in the Cartesian case, and all of these terms are due to the hyperboloidal coefficients and your potential. So in conclusion, we have a fixed grid, so a particle can be anywhere. We need to, we can pre-compute our officiation matrices and all of our jumps. So we can handle the discontinuous by calculating these jump terms. Of course, there are cons associated with our method, which is we need a high number of jumps. As you can see, we calculate them by using that relation. And of course, as you've seen in the previous equation, the complexity increases a lot when we use hyperboloidal slicing. Our future next steps, obviously, we'd like to reconstruct the metric perturbations in the time domain, but we also want to be sure of our numerical solution because things are only going to get harder from this point. But if we have any, technically, we could attempt the gravitational self-force calculation, but obviously, we take collaboration and corroboration very seriously, and we want to corroborate with other people that have done so far. So these are the main four steps in line that we have. And at the moment, we also working with the Brodin-Kress equation in Kerr, specifically Michael and Nelson. That's all I have to say for today. If you want to see simpler examples of our method to other functions, I have some reserved slides, but I'm not sure if I have time to say anything else. That's all.
All right. Thank you, Lydia. Great talk. Actually, you're doing great on time. So yeah, we have a couple minutes for questions. I have just either a quick or a long question. So what do you anticipate as being kind of the main challenges taking this to Kerr or Brodin-Kress?
Because for Ridge-Wheeler, we have decomposed it fully. So we have for Kerr, you have the rotation. So you'll have the terms associated with those rotations, right? So that are already difficult things. And also the hyperboloidal slice that we have at the moment is for Schwarzschild. We're still working on an hyperboloidal slice for Kerr. So it will be harder because of the equation we have at hand. That's basically it. I'm not sure if Harris wants to add anything else.
Yeah. So actually the slicing, you can apply exactly the same transformations for in Kerr ingoing coordinates and they will work. But the main issue is the coupling between L modes.
Yeah.
That you have to deal with. But you'll simply have bigger state vectors to deal with. And in the end you'll still have just a matrix multiplication each time step. But computing the jumps with coupled L modes and so on analytically, which is required for this method, that will be kind of complicated.
Thank you. Let's see, let's give a couple more seconds in case there are last minute questions. If not, thank you so much. Give one more round of applause on behalf of everybody else who is muted.